Good morning. Our first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And our New Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, reading from verse 32 to 36. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Amen. And let's give thanks to God for this reading from his holy word.
During the seven Sundays of Easter, our preaching usually focuses on the consequences of the resurrection. We reflect on what it means to receive the invitation to enter into new life in Christ and what that new life might look like. For those of us who follow the Revised Common Lectionary, the usual Old Testament readings are replaced during this season with readings from the book of Acts, which present to us a picture of the early church, the Christian community that emerged in the wake of the resurrection. And we're invited to ponder, what does the resurrection of Jesus make possible? In other words, this is the time of year when we sit back after Easter and ask the all-important question, so what? So what if Jesus rose from the grave? So what if the whole Easter story is true? What difference does any of it make in the real world? Today, we'll begin by looking at the community life made possible by the resurrection. We get several pictures of this community life in the book of Acts, and maybe the most attractive of these pictures is the one that Luke paints for us in Acts chapter 4. The group of believers was one in mind and heart, he writes. They all shared with one another everything they had. God poured rich blessings on them all. There was no one in the group who was in need, and the money was distributed according to the needs of the people. At first hearing, it sounds a bit like an idealistic communist utopia. There are a few things to note about this community, though. The first thing to note is that this lifestyle described by Luke was not an innovation after the resurrection, but in fact a continuation of the community life that Jesus himself established during his ministry. When Luke describes the same community at the end of Acts chapter 2, many of its features are a direct carryover from Jesus' own ministry. The regular teaching, the regular devotion together, the healing of the sick, and perhaps especially the shared community meals where everybody was welcome. Secondly, the thing to note here is that it was the knowledge of the resurrection that made the continuation of such a community possible. We'll look at that in just a moment, so we'll come back to that in a second. But first I want to mention a third point, and this is one we might actually miss sometimes, and that is that we mustn't be conned into thinking that Luke is describing a utopian community or society. Now, this last point is difficult for us to grasp, I guess, because we want to believe that as soon as Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, walks into the room, suddenly we have heaven on earth. Everything broken will be fixed. We long for such a utopia for ourselves, and so we look for it in the book of Acts. We look to see it in the early church. We say to ourselves, if it was possible for them, then it might just be possible for us too. The reality of this early community, I'm afraid, was a lot bleaker. The early church emerged in the midst of an extremely violent world, and a particularly violent time and place in that world. Palestine was in conflict. Political tension between Jews and Romans had been bubbling under the surface from long before Jesus was born and throughout his life and ministry, and it all eventually exploded into the Roman-Jewish War of 66 to 70 AD. In fact, in AD 68, when Luke was still writing down all the notes for his gospel and the book of Acts, the Roman Emperor Vespasian launched a military campaign to utterly crush the Jewish rebellion once and for all. The Jewish historian Josephus describes the scenes of horrific violence where, after plundering and burning Jewish villages, the Romans began to crucify rebellious Jews until, Josephus writes, there was not enough room for the crosses and not enough crosses for the bodies. So when you read these descriptions of the early church community, don't think idyllic society where everyone lives in harmony. Instead, think hopeful enclave in the midst of a world of violence and terror. This is what the resurrection makes possible. An alternative community that lives together on the basis of hope when all around it is fear. In other words, the stories about the community of the resurrection are not there for us to use as a blueprint for designing the perfect society. Instead, they're there to offer us hope in the times when our society is gripped by fear or hopelessness, whether in times of war or famine or pandemic. And the good news is that in such situations, a community empowered by the living presence of the risen Christ is good, not only for itself, but also as a beacon to the whole of society. And this is the point which is made in that beautiful Psalm 133. How wonderful it is, how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony, the psalmist writes. And then follow two images which the psalmist uses that describe to us what such harmony achieves. First image is this: it is like the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard and down to the collar of his robes. Aaron was the high priest, and the anointing oil, which was often used in ceremonies, was a sign of God's blessing. So here is a picture of the high priest and receiving blessing that overflows. It's too much blessing for just him. It overflows and drips down all over his beard and onto the collar of his robes. But here's the point of the image that the psalmist is using. You see, when the high priest went to pray, he would wear a breast piece around his neck, which would hang down over his breast, called the ephod. And the ephod contained 12 precious stones, each one with a name of one of the tribes engraved on it, so representing Israel. And so when he was praying, he was presenting all of the tribes, all 12 tribes. He was representing them all before God. So now, get what the image is saying. It's saying that when this oil drips over Aaron's head and beard and on over the collar of his robes, it drips down onto the ephod, and guess what? It blesses all the 12 tribes. All 12 tribes. In other words, everybody gets the blessing. And then we have the second image, which is a very similar, a kind of a parallel. It says, it is like the dew of Mount Hermon falling on the hills of Zion. Mount Hermon is north of Israel, beyond the Golan Heights and right on the border between Lebanon and Syria. But what matters for the image is that this is the source of the headwaters of the Jordan River. In other words, when the snow or the rain or the dew falls on Mount Hermon, the water from that precipitation flows down the slopes of Hermon and into the Jordan and via the Jordan throughout the whole land of Israel, bringing life for crops and livestock wherever it flows. In other words, everybody gets the blessing. So here's the lesson. In times when the whole society, the whole of society is gripped by tragedy or hardship or fear, a community of faithful people who believe in the resurrection and live together as a community of hope can be a powerful witness. And through them, it becomes possible for the whole of society to find hope. In other words, everybody gets the blessing.